Let's pray together. God, we thank you that your Spirit is moving, that you are opening doors, that there is mission and ministry ahead of us. And so fill us with your Spirit. Guide us in exactly what to do, because, God, the mission field is bigger than we can imagine. The tasks before us are bigger than we could have dreamed. But, God, you are able. And so be with us. Guide us. Fill our hearts, even in this moment, as we talk about your word, that we receive your Spirit in this place. Thank you that you are with us, that you are our God, and that you can use us for your work and your ministry. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. I'm continuing our sermon series that I'm calling Restoring the Soul. And I think it's a very important topic, a very important series, because it's a tough life out there. And we have to have ways of being restored in order just to make it through our days sometimes. We've all been at that place where we are drained, where we are just exhausted. We can't do everything we're called to do all the time. And then today we're talking about things in our service, of doors that God is opening for mission and ministry, and it's powerful stuff. And there's a lot to do, and there's many, many opportunities for God's work to be done through our church and in our lives. And so I'm going to do something that's probably crazy. I'm going to start out today telling you reasons why you should not be involved in missions and ministry. Now, there's a couple of reasons why you should, and I'll get to that. But I'm going to give you a few reasons why you should not do any of this. Okay? Any of the things that we're doing in a church, or if you're listening on our website, there's churches all around the world that are doing great ministry. And everyone should be involved for a couple of good reasons. But there's some reasons why you should not be. And I want to give you those. You should not do missions and ministry out of guilt. If your idea is to roll your eyes and say, okay, fine, because I know if I don't do it, I'll feel bad about it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it because you're afraid the other idiots that might do it are not as capable as you are. We don't say it out loud like that. But sometimes, you know, we're afraid that if I don't do it, somebody else does it, and they're not going to do it as well as me. So I don't want to do it, but I'll do it because I don't want to watch this idiot mess it up. Don't do that. Let the idiot mess it up. Don't do it for that reason. Don't do it because, and I'm going to nuance this one. We're going to talk about this one a little later as well. But don't do it because you have a void in your life you're trying to fill. Again, I'm going to talk about that one more as we go along. That's a complicated one. But if you've got a void in your life that you're trying to fill by doing mission and ministry for God, be really careful with that one, okay? Sometimes there's an expression in America called quid pro quo. I don't know if that translates to all of our nationalities here, but what it means is, I'll do this with the expectation I'm going to get a specific return. Okay? So God, I'll do this, but God, I'm expecting this series of things in my life. Okay, and if I don't get that, I'm not going to be very happy. See, if that's your attitude, that I'll do this because I'm expecting God to fill this void in my life specifically, I'm expecting a specific return on my investment, well, you are setting yourself up for disappointment. It does not work that way. If you've got the idea, I'm going to do this for God, even though I don't really want to, have no desire to, it's not really my thing, but I'll do it because I've got needs that I need. I need God to fix me. I need God to fill my life and make me happy and healthy and joyful and all these things. And so I'll do this in order to get specifically what I want. that God will be obligated then to give me what I want if I give God this. Does not work that way. You are setting yourself up for disappointment if that's your idea. If we have these ideas in our mind that I'll do it out of guilt, I'll do it because I don't trust the other people that might do it, I'll do it because I feel a void in my life, maybe we do things because we feel like there's a social expectation. What would people think of me if I'm not doing this? Maybe there's a thing in our own life where we're just trying to like ourselves. That I don't like me very much. Maybe if I do some really good stuff, I'll like me more. Maybe other people will like me more. Maybe I'll finally be able to please my demanding mother or dad or aunt or grandma or whoever it is in our life that drives us nuts because we're never good enough for them. So if I do these good mission and ministry things, all these powerful things, then maybe they'll get off my back and realize I'm not a bad person after all. I'm sorry to tell you this, but they're going to be on your back no matter what. It's not about you. It's about them. It's not about what you're doing. It's about their personality, okay? And you're not going to be able to fix them. So they're going to irritate you even if you go out and do every mission in the world. They're still going to irritate you because it's never going to be good enough. And so if you're doing mission and ministry to please somebody, to finally measure up to your family, to finally measure up to your own way too high of standards for yourself, to measure up to some sort of societal norm that you've got in your head, you are setting yourself up for disappointment. Because those people, and you might even be that person in your own life, is never going to be happy no matter how much you do. You're never going to please that family member. You're never going to please society. You might not even be able to please yourself with that plan. It's never going to be enough. These are reasons why you should not get involved in missions and ministry. Let me tell you why you should. There's a couple of reasons. One is you are so filled with love and joy and peace and hope. Remember the stuff we talk about at Christmas? Love and joy and peace and hope. That's not just for Christmas. God actually provides that stuff through the Spirit. And if we are so filled with love and joy and peace and hope through the Spirit of God, and we've got so much of this stuff that it's overflowing, and I think to myself, man, I gotta find somewhere to put this stuff. I got so much extra love and joy and peace and hope, I gotta find somewhere to get rid of it. I got too much. You gotta be involved in missions. When you're there, you gotta be involved in missions and ministry. You gotta be at a place that it comes from the overflow, that the Spirit of God is overflowing, and you've got so much love in your life. Listen, this is the dream of what a church could be. And I know some of you are probably thinking right now, he's lost his mind. Nobody lives that life. That's impossible. Yeah. Is it really impossible? So Jesus died, he's resurrected from the dead to bring us all the things that we talk about at Christmas, love and joy and peace and hope, and that's impossible? If we are filled with that to the place that it overflows in our life, and we're doing mission and ministry that way, and we are touching lives, and things can absolutely be chaos and not go well, and that's okay. We're just giving away love. And they might not respond the way we hoped they would. We might invest a lot of time and energy and money, and some of these kids or some of the prisoners or some of the people that we help, they may not respond the way we hoped. And that's okay, because we're just giving away the love of Jesus. If we are filled with the Spirit of God, we are filled with the love and joy and peace and hope that comes from Jesus in our life, we can give that stuff away, and you know what? people might not do a great job around us. Things might not always go the way we hoped. And we can still just give that love away. You see, one of the struggles we have in missions and ministry, I don't know if all of you are aware of this, there's a lot of conflict in church. That always intrigues me. It really does. You would think if you were living for Jesus, you're following Jesus, and you're actually helping people, wouldn't that be fun? I got actually chastised one time for using the word fun in church. I'm not making this up. I talked about having fun in church, and somebody got irritated with me because they said, we're not here for fun. I don't understand any of that. So if we are following Jesus, and if we are helping people, wouldn't that be enjoyable? Wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't that be a joyful thing? And yet, all around the world, what we see in church is conflict. Now, I don't know that I understand everything about all of that, but I think I understand a thing or two. I think one of the reasons we have that is because people are doing mission and ministry out of guilt, or because they think the idiots around them can't do it as well as they can, or they're doing it to meet some sort of societal standard or family standard or personal standard or all those things we just talked about. And they get into it, and they are not filling the void they wanted to fill. They're not getting the return on their investment they expected. Peter Cacera wrote a book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, and he talked about hitting the wall. He talked about this idea that you're working hard and you're doing a lot of stuff and you're serving Jesus and you're helping people, and then it's so disappointing. And you hit this emotional wall and you think, really? This is what this is about? Because we're not getting the return on our investment that we expected. Now, we don't want to say, most of us, maybe some people blame God. A lot of people do blame God. But I think a lot of people are hesitant to just outright blame God. So, we do the next best thing. We fight with each other. Because if I'm doing missions and ministry and I'm serving God and I'm giving my best effort, and I think I'm pretty good at it, and I'm not getting the return on my investment that I expected, well, then it must be because the preacher's an idiot, or the leadership team is clueless, or other people aren't working as hard, or you know what, people are just so ungrateful. There's all these reasons that we assume must be the problem because I'm not getting this void in my life filled the way I expected when I'm doing such good work. And so we have conflict with one another. We argue with one another. You know, if we're just giving out of the overflow, then the preacher can be an idiot. And a lot of us are. Then, you know, the leadership team can mess things up. People cannot do a very good job. People can be ungrateful. And you know what? We're just giving away the love of Jesus. And that's going to have an impact. Even if all those things I just said are true, that's still going to have an impact because we're just giving out of the overflow. If we're giving out of being drained, we're giving in order to hope God does something in our life specifically to fix us. We're giving so that God will be required to give to us or to meet some sort of standard that we have in our mind. Man, that's going to wear us out. And we're probably going to end up fighting with each other. If we're giving out of the love of Jesus, that we are so filled with love and joy and peace and hope and all the things that come from Christ, man, we just give that stuff away and we see what God does. That's fun. And things might not always be perfect. And that's okay because we're just giving away the love of Jesus. Now, the question comes then, how do you get that? How do you get to a place where you're just overflowing in love and joy and peace and hope? Well, that's a journey. But there's a few things that are common in the journey. And one is prayer. Now, if you come here on a regular basis, you hear me say this. There is no substitute for prayer. And it's amazing how many Christians think they can go through their life doing good works, attending church, and never pray, and somehow that's going to work. It does not work. There is no substitute for connecting with the Spirit. People say, well, I don't know how to pray. You don't have to. You cannot do it wrong. If you don't know what to say, don't say anything. Just sit quietly and in your mind and heart, see if you can sense the presence of God. You don't have to say a word. Just see if you can sense the presence of God, the presence of God in your life in that moment. That is a powerful time of prayer. If you just sit quietly and see, and it takes time and you might not sense it every time, but just see if you can sense the presence of God. And then if something comes to mind you want to tell God, say it. Say it however it comes to mind. You can't do it wrong. God already knows what's on your heart anyway. If we are people of prayer and we are connecting with the Spirit, that fills our cup. That fills our life with the Spirit of God. You can read the Bible. In fact, you need to read the Bible. And you need to read the Bible to fill your own spirit, not to correct other people. See, a lot of times people read the Bible in order to correct other people, at least in their own imagination. You know, we read stuff and we say, boy, my sister needs to read that. Next time I get in an argument with my aunt, I'm bringing this up. You know, if that's the way you read the Bible, it's not really going to fill your spirit with love and joy and peace and hope. If you're reading the Bible just so you can try to win an argument with somebody, maybe that works sometimes. Doesn't work often. There's so much in the Bible that can fill our soul with the very presence of God. Another thing we can do to fill our spirit, and some of you are going to say, hey, wait a minute, you're contradicting yourself. You know one of the ways we can fill our spirit? To give. Now, I just got through saying, don't give to fill a void in your life. There's a nuance here. Giving with an agenda to obligate God to give us something back does not work. Giving for the sheer joy of giving, that fills our cup. That actually works. So it's not that we should never give to fill the void. We should just never do it with an agenda. That we give in order to give. We give in order to have the privilege of giving because we can give. We have something. Whether it's time or money or insight or whatever it is, everybody has something they can give to somebody. Everybody has a calling to help somebody. And it's amazing what that does for us when we do it without an agenda. When we do it not to obligate God to do something for us, not to please somebody else or to impress somebody or to meet some sort of standard that we have in our imagination, but just in order to give. Man, that does some cool stuff. That really has an impact on our life, and it fills our cup when we begin to give in a way that is not agenda-driven, but just in order to give, just because we can. Even if we are a little depleted right now, even if our cup is not yet full, we give what we can just to have the opportunity to give, just for the joy of giving. And the Bible tells us we give and we will be given. In fact, it tells us that when God gives, it's pressed down, shaken together, overflowing, which is what we're going for. That we give, not with an agenda, but just to give. God will find ways to fill our cup. Because you know what? You know what God's looking for in people? God would love to see in churches is when God starts putting stuff in our lives and our hearts, when God starts filling us up, it just flows out to other people. Many years ago, I went to Alaska to a small mission church there. And it was a church probably about our size, about 30, 40 people or so. And the pastor there said, we need to understand something. There's not many people live in this area in Alaska. We're not going to be able to sustain a church on our own. A lot of the people there didn't have jobs. They couldn't sustain a church. The pastor was paid through the denomination. He was a missionary from the denomination. The church couldn't pay him. And so he came to the church and he said, we can't sustain a church. So I'll tell you what. God will leave us here if we are the place that things flow through to people that are more in need than us. And that's what they did. They had a vision of whatever God gives us, it's just coming through, and we can find somebody to help just for the joy of helping. No agenda. No idea that God was required to give them anything specific. Just God, use us how you want to. That little church of about 30 people or so, 30, 40 people in Alaska had missions in Canada. They had missions in Russia. They had missions to the native Eskimo people of the area. They had missions all over. And it was funded from places all over the world because they knew when this church gets a hold of something, they're going to give it to somebody. They're going to help somebody with it without an agenda. It's a powerful thing to give just for the sheer joy of giving. If we are a church, if we are a people that pray every day and are touched by the Spirit of God, if we are a people that read the Bible not to win arguments with people we disagree with, but to be filled with the Word of God, if we are a people that give even in a depleted state, but not with an agenda, not trying to get back our investment, but just for the joy of giving, God tells us so many times in Scripture He will fill our cup and it will overflow. And then we just give that overflow away wherever we can. Now, let me tell you how all this is possible. Everything I just said hinges on one basic concept, and that is the Scripture in Romans where we are told there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Most people don't believe that. Most people believe, well, there's got to be a little bit. You know, got to be a little bit of guilt and a little bit of condemnation, a little bit of harshness to motivate people. No. No condemnation. That means if you don't do one thing, man, God loves you. If you don't jump through any hoops at all, you don't clear any benchmarks, you don't meet any agendas, you're just you. And you don't do a thing. You start out at 100 with God. He really likes you just the way you are. You don't have to do one thing to win Him over. And that's where we get to start. If we're trying to somehow work to get to that point, we're missing the whole point. We're missing the work that Jesus did. If you're trying to work and work and work to get to the point God accepts you, then you're wasting your time because God's already there. Because He tells us there's no condemnation. For those in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. God absolutely loves you and accepts you exactly the way you are. But as I often say, He loves you too much to leave you like you are. He's got better plans. He loves you exactly as you are. And He knows exactly how to get you to an even better place. He loves you exactly as you are, loves you too much to leave you like you are. If we follow Jesus, we get to that better place. And it comes just through following Him, not by working to measure up, because there's no condemnation. God is not looking down and saying, boy, you better get it together. Girl, you better find a way to act better. No. God is looking at you and saying, man, I love you. I love you exactly as you are, and I got so many good things I could do through you. And that's where we get to start. We start there. Can you imagine that? We start at that place that God loves us so much. He's already fixed through Jesus Christ all the mess of our life. And if we just start there, and then He says, I'm going to fill your cup and let it overflow. And when it's overflowing, give that stuff away. And you know what our job as a church is? To find places for you to give that stuff away. And God is opening the doors for that. Praise be to God. And that's why we pray. We pray together each week because this is a spiritual journey. God does not condemn us. God loves us. God enjoys us. We start out in the love of God, for God to fill our heart, our soul, to overflow to a world who desperately needs that kind of love. Let's pray to that God together. Lord, thank You that the work of mission and ministry is that we do is not to get You to like us. It's not with the agenda of meeting some standard we have in our head or to meet some social or family expectation or to alleviate our guilt or any of those things. That we get to give out of the pure joy of giving. That we get to start at a level of acceptance. That we are not condemned. We are not trying to live up. You have redeemed us in your love. And so we get to start at a place of peace and of joy. To have our life filled with your Spirit so we can just give that stuff away. God, thank you that you are opening doors for us to do just that. And so fill the life of each person. That each one that will have any kind of contact with our church, Lord, we pray that you would fill their life so much that they just have to find a way to give away all the extra love and joy and peace and hope that you have given. Let us be that kind of church, that kind of people, through your Spirit.